What's going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Dash.
Welcome to House of Bod, brought to you by Mack Weldon, but not really, but we'd like sponsorships.
That's true. We're looking.
And they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you're the Mack Weldon man here.
Yes, they're comfortable, breathable, and a lot of them are made of antimicrobial material. That's a fun word.
Is it? Are those like tiny nanobites?
I'm not 100% sure, but maybe. I can't speak for the company because we're not sponsored.
That sounds too fancy for underwear. I'm just going to go ahead and... Mm-hmm. Put that out there.
A little bit, but they make socks, undershirts, polos, and awesome sweatpants too.
Look at this. This is. Listen to this ad. This not paid ad.
Yes. Also, gentlemen, if you are of the lighter skin tone, please do not wear white undershirts. Gray is hidden well, way better underneath another white shirt. Thank you.
Is that a fashion tip from Basham?
Yes, nice. Underneath a white shirt is not good. All you see is a bright white shirt. Gray is better.
See, I should have talked to you. Apparently, cargo shorts aren't a thing anymore. Well, they're a thing, but like people don't wear cargo shorts anymore.
I knew that, but I refused to get rid of mine.
I like having extra pockets. I'm sorry. I'm old.
Well, actually, I only have two pairs. One of them is for utility. The other one is because it's been on... two continents, three countries, and 14 states, I think. So it's kind of a sentimental thing, besides, even though they're, like, falling apart at this point.
Besides, like, who knows, like, I could be just, like, outside one day and then fall through the earth and end up in, like, some sort of crazy adventure. I'm glad I'm wearing my khaki pants, or my cargo pants.
That's true. That would also give you extra storage space.
More storage bags, exactly.
This has been a really interesting tangent of a intro here.
Does Mack Weldon make cargo pants?
I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to check later.
Ooh, they did. I'm going to call them up and just, like, sponsor us. So we got our predictions or results for Backlash, which neither of us are the champion. Our new champion for the first time is Todd.
That's
who,
true.
Who had a great babyface promo out in the group chat earlier this morning. I did enjoy that a lot.
Yes, I will actually read it after the results.
Oh, he sent you like a little like memoir.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I got the babyface promo here.
And it turns out that Scooby didn't lose the belt. Basham was just hiding it from him. So all is well. I'd rather have that.
I didn't steal it. I just hid it from a neglectful champion.
Wasn't it just like right there too? Is very, very easy to find.
It was left face down on the kitchen table, and I moved it to underneath the couch in the little hidden drawer thingy.
So yeah, so if any ounce of effort was given into finding it, it probably would have been found.
Oh yeah, there was zero searching. It was just, oh man, did you see it?
It's no. Gone. Okay. Oh well, looks like someone took it. Anyways, yeah, we got that later on, plus our, semifinals for the, Tournament of Heroes.
And some villains that have all been knocked out at this point.
Yep, they're all gone. But first, let's go into a little bit of news. Now, I don't know if we talked about this. I know we didn't talk about it last week. This is kind of a developing thing that's been happening. But apparently, I know a couple months ago we talked about how the diamond distribution shut down during the COVID, or because of the COVID thing, which is why comic books stores haven't been getting comics. Apparently DC just severed ties with them completely.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it was is starting their own sort of distribution thing. Now, like I said, this is what I had from before we just started recording, because there was that, like, that happens, and there's just been a lot of scrutiny coming to DC from both comic books or different like publishing companies and comic book store owners, especially from the comic book store owners, because you gotta figure they've all been going from one company, so now you have two separate companies that you have to figure out the logistics for, plus the fact that Diamond doesn't have DC anymore, they're going to have to try to fill in that extra revenue that isn't there, so they're going to become more expensive. You know, it's just, it's all bad.
And if they don't have DC, I mean...
Well, they still do Marvel and Dark Horse or Imagine Comics. They still, like, Diamond still distributes a lot. But you think about it, if you, like, They do for some DC odd reason, and I thought Marvel. It was
split Marvel DC for
no,
some
reason. No, they do DC and Marvel. So, like, that is essentially, like, 50% of your profit is just now not there. If you're looking, I mean, well, maybe not 50%, but, like, a huge, huge chunk is just gone.
Yeah.
But, like, that was what I had. Looking up now, apparently DC and Diamond have temporarily extended their partnership, I believe, through July. So they're still going to be doing some certain things between each other, between the two, but in the end, DC is not going to be with Diamond anymore, and they're going to have their own company that they're going to distribute their comics from.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Shit's crazy. That shit's crazy. Like, I mean,
it's really weird for a company that's being kept alive by Batman and kind of Superman.
I actually have a little bit of a Superman.
I mean, actually, Teen Titans and the Justice League are pretty.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just I'm
yeah, can't mind their animated movies have come into their own.
I'm interested to see how this unfolds. It kind of sucks that like the ones who are getting hit the hardest are going to be like the store owners, especially after like it's like the ones that are left at this point, because there's been a lot of comic book stores that have been closing down because of all this, and now you have this going on, which is going to change up a lot of stuff. Already
shrinking field.
Oh yeah. But speak really quick, because I know you have some news. I did read something earlier that talks about Superman and how they're probably not going to have a sequel to Man of Steel for a while, to kind of because they feel like Superman isn't like as marketable because Man of Steel didn't do as well as those other ones. Blah blah blah. And so they're going to instead like kind of put him in like a Nick Fury-esque type role where like he's just in different DC movies.
Yeah, that's correct. He's actually his deal was not for Man of Steel. It was for something else. Everyone's suspecting Shazam 2 since he already kind of appeared.
Yeah, I think what they should do,
you know, no face wise.
I think what they should do is just write a good Superman movie.
I mean, that'd be nice.
That's real. I mean, people, that's why people, it's not like people aren't seeing it because.
Wait, Dad, I can save you. No.
Don't.
Tornado.
Please. I'll go get the dog and die. It's not like you can do it without anybody seeing it.
Yeah, or fly the opposite way around the tornado and stop it. I'm pretty sure that's canon.
I like Henry Cavill. Like, has the look for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that he's written, he reminds me too much of Batman.
Like, yeah, that last one was a little bit broody.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you need to save the world, Clark, it was like, you don't know these people anything, Clark. Like, damn.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, Martha got dark when she got kidnapped.
That's in Batman versus. That was before she got kidnapped. That was Batman versus Superman. Like that, and it's like, and it's like a, it's like, but it's like the parent, it's like the roles reversed. Like they, it's like originally his dad's like, don't show your powers, you know, maybe you should let people die. And now all of a sudden his mom's like, oh, you don't know, oh, anybody, anything. It's like, yeah, you do. Like you, like look what you did to Metropolis. You owe a lot. Not if you're just talking about money, but like in general, like you've shown yourself as this like super powerful being. Like, sorry, game over, man, game over.
Yeah, I like it in the cartoons where you hear him think, "I've got to get these people away from this, or I've got to get this guy away from the city, or away from these people."
Yeah,
something along those lines.
Which, and you know what? I think Zack Snyder came out and was like, saying how the reason why there was so much destruction in Man of Steel is because it was Superman's first time out. Mm. But, like, even still, like, it's just common sense. You probably shouldn't throw somebody through a building filled with people.
I mean, yeah, I would think so.
I mean,
we've already had this discussion.
Did we?
Probably.
I mean, like, I'm sure we've had it several times. I don't know if we've had it on air. On air? On the podcast?
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of throwing through buildings.
It's like a Dragon Ball Z fight. But even in Dragon Ball Z, they're like, we need to get them away from the city! And they go to like a barren desert.
Mm-hmm. Like most Power Rangers fights, too.
Yeah.
Although some of them happen in a park, and then all of a sudden, when they're big, they're in the city. That's kind of weird, but, you know, Power Rangers.
Well, maybe it's just like a really big park inside the city. And they grow so large that the park becomes so minuscule because the city's so big.
Like New York.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They'd be like in Central Park fighting.
Angel Grove is in New York. Got it. Confirmed.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't it in like Connecticut?
I don't know.
I always thought that it was in like a weird fucking state by the ocean. Connecticut or Maine or like Vermont.
I don't think they ever said.
Oh man,
that was just Angel Grove.
I'm gonna have to investigate this because I'm curious now.
I mean, it looked like California. I forgot where that building is. Probably Nevada or something.
Nevada, the
command center. It used to be a building you could go to, but I think they had too many people. Like,
oh, yeah, that's true. Center, and they stopped. That's true. That. Angel Grove is by. Well, no, because isn't Angel Grove? And maybe it's in New Mexico. Because isn't it by the beach?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm getting way too into Power Rangers.
I don't know. I mean,
I could have sworn they Dragon were
Dragonzord has to come from somewhere. Yeah, is that an exact like Mechagodzilla reference? Even though Mechagodzilla, the one with the Sub-Zero cannon, I'm gonna throw that in there, would probably beat Dragonzord.
Wait, the Sub-Zero cannon?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't remember. It had a specific name. It was built off of the bones of another Godzilla. That Mechagodzilla
would beat the Megazord. I mean, I assume. If you look
the absolute zero cannon.
If you look at size alone, I mean, the anything from Godzilla would destroy a Megazord. Because, I mean, the Megazords, the buildings come up to, like, their knees. Whereas, like, the, like, Godzilla, like, essentially, like, steps on the buildings.
Depends on the Godzilla.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm going off of what we got now.
Yeah, Godzilla historically has just gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Speaking of, Godzilla versus King Kong movie got pushed back to next year, along with Wonder Woman, because Tenet has been pushed back until August, I believe. So so Warner Brothers isn't competing with Warner Brothers, they've pushed Wonder Woman back until October, I believe. October or November? I'll have to double check that. But regardless, everything is just shifting because Tenet is like, we are releasing in theaters. Which, good for them. Go for it, you know? I wouldn't want to see that movie for the first time at home. That's a movie where,
you know,
like,
what else is? What? New Mutants.
Yes. Yes. They got, I think we talked about their release date too.
We did. I'm just excited about it.
Basham, you have to remember, like, I know that you're like, you get discouraged, it keeps getting pushed back. Legally they have to release it in theaters.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so
that's why I said it.
You will get it eventually. Mm-hmm. When, who knows, but I'm just saying.
But it's okay. I get it.
This movie better be amazing. I'm sure it will be. From the trailers look fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's going to be good.
And supposedly,
well,
nothing happened in the editing room.
They
were like, we're going to do a bunch of reshoots. I'm like, actually, no, we're just going to let him realize his idea and we're going to say it's not part of the main universe. But like, based on the vision of, like, Demon Bear and all the crazy thing coming from the ceilings and all the, like, random scenes, like, I think this is going to be the first scary movie in Marvel. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, that'd be really good. So you have more DC news before we get too far off topic, don't you?
I do. It's actually about the Snyder Cut. Mm-hmm. I guess 75% of the story is going to be new via either editing placement of the scenes or some of the audio, or they're having some kind of reshoots, like visually. But yeah, they're going to change some of it. I guess they're adding back Darkseid back into it like they originally planned to.
Okay.
Because yeah, I think someone even confirmed that on Twitter where he's like, I played Darkseid in Zack Snyder's cut.
See, I think we talked about this last time. This is the one thing I kind of worry about. Them being able to like release this movie with hindsight is like, especially with like, oh, 75% is going to be new. Like, how much of that is going to be what?
Well,
what
the was new a, story.
That okay, yes, new story. So is that like 75% new story as compared to what we got, or 75% new
what
story?
We got.
Okay, because I want if they're going to do this, I want to see what Snyder was actually going to do. I would not.
That's exactly what it is. It's not like hindsight. It's like, this is what we were planning on doing, and then everyone was like, "No, we can't do that."
That's the one thing I worry about is like, is instead of they're like, "Oh yeah, we're going to release this, and this will be the original vision for it," but instead they just go in and like, oh, people didn't like Steppenwolf, we'll put Darkseid in. People thought that the characters were too rushed, we'll go ahead and extend that out so they have backstory. And,
oh, no, Steppenwolf was still in there.
Yeah, I know that.
The Flash's character is more fleshed out.
Which is good, because if they're going to be doing a Flashpoint movie, they need him more fleshed out instead of quirky guy who eats a lot.
Yeah. And falls into Wonder Woman's breast assesses.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on from that to Marvel. There's actually a new report that Mephisto and Doctor Doom are going to be introduced in WandaVision.
That would be sweet.
I don't know.
Mephisto and Doctor Doom?
Well, set up for. So I don't know like how much it's going to be like referenced or anything, but it's going to be a huge setup for it.
I could see Mephisto like literally being in WandaVision, but I don't know about Doctor Doom would have to be like a Latveria reference or something.
Considering. Well, spoiler, guys, if you haven't read the comics. Considering that Wanda's children are shards of Mephisto's soul,
yeah,
I could definitely see that. So, I mean, when they say it's a setup for it, I mean, I don't know if they mean, like, that exactly. Because then,
Mephisto would be sweet.
Well, Dr. Doom, like, repeatedly goes to hell to, like, challenge Mephisto for his mother's soul, because she's trapped down there and it doesn't work, so... Well, that's a long storyline. But, yeah, that does set all of that up, so... I mean, I could see that it definitely makes sense from there.
That would be awesome, and then they can do the one more day storyline with Spider-Man. Except instead of it being like, I don't want to be married to MJ and like just shitting all over everything, nice. they can use that to retcon Mysterio.
I don't think he's dead anyway.
No, I definitely don't think he's dead.
Although the glasses said are all illusions are over.
I'm sure the sequel to it is going to be a lot with him just trying to clear his name. I feel like the way that do that would be, like, I mean, everyone's going to know he's Peter Parker. That's not going to change, but, like, to clear his name of murdering Mysterio, who is actually the bad guy, but people don't think he was the bad guy. Like, trying to, like, solve that.
Ah, but we have a Scarlet Witch. She can erase everyone's memory.
That's very true. It's a little nice little MacGuffin there.
Although speaking of a racing thing, there was a Tamina video earlier on Twitter. She was kind of like wearing a straitjacket, and she was having like, you know, mood swings where she was like laughing and then crying and like banging her head up against a wall. It was like, you know, finally after 10 years of mistreatment in WWE, I've snapped. It was like really good. It was really creepy. I found that on Reddit, but it has since been taken down.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Which is why I found it on Reddit.
She's probably, like, trying to get traction, but the company's like, whoa, now.
Yeah, hey! How dare you try to get yourself over?
You know what your dad did. Get back down there. Like, we're keeping arm's distance from you, sorry.
I mean, Vince was the one that helped him cover it up, so...
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Unless that was actually fact, I don't know.
Yeah, Randy Orton is... never mind. Allegedly.
Oh, God.
Allegedly.
Oh, God.
All allegedly.
Don't worry. Ugh.
But sticking on to WWE, there's actually been another new report. So remember when we said like Cole's contract was coming up soon when we did that prediction?
Yes.
August, I believe it was. Well, actually, when that new TV deal went through, they re-signed some of their superstars. As it turns out, Cole's contract actually has, like, 18 months left on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because his original contract would have been over in August, but he re-signed at that point, so...
Okay.
He's going to be there for a little bit, and I guess Britt Baker was just, like...
Just...
I don't know, like...
Teasing?
Hey, honey, throw him off. Give a tweet. The internet nerds will be all over it. Damn us, internet nerds, right? Being internet nerds.
Curse. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, well, kind of related to the internet, but not really. Technology. Someone had tried to hack Asuka earlier.
Like Asuka's a robot?
No, like Asuka's Well, they just said one of her social media accounts, but she has a bunch of social media accounts, so we don't know which one. But I guess she actually posted the IP address of said hacker on a bunch of her accounts. It was like, I know what you're doing. Stop. Bleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cyber warrior Asuka.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
That's... What the fuck?
Yes. I think she should be given a medal. She acted very well.
What do you get? What do you gain out of, ooh, like, hacking somebody's Twitter or Instagram, aside from putting up something stupid?
I don't know. Maybe trying to find nudes, but I don't think Asuka seems like the nude type.
What, you save it to Twitter?
A social media.
I guess,
you could.
Both of us are the worst people to, like, talk about in this conversation, because I know neither of us know anything about this shit.
Hey, if we're talking about MySpace or Zanga...
Oh, I remember MySpace. That's where all the creepy guys are bands. At right now. Yeah. No, it's not even for bands, I don't think. Is it even around?
I don't know. I haven't logged on to mine.
I have so much to investigate.
Maybe later.
Goddamn.
Actually, what I really need to find on the internet is Hey Hey Hey. Or no, wait. Hey Hey Ho, Hey Hey Ho Ho, the new music video by Miz and Morrison.
That was really funny.
They should get a Grammy.
Apparently they had the full thing on it during the pre-show.
Yes, they did.
We didn't see.
I saw the full thing, but I want to watch it again.
Oh, I need to see it. I'm sure they got to put it up soon.
Oh, it's delightful.
Yeah. do you have any more news, or should we start talking about the wrestling?
A little bit more news. Unfortunately, injuries.
Oh, no.
And it's still wrestling. The angle recently where, you know, the Jeff Hardy drunk driving angle they had was actually, not set up specifically to take Elias out, but it is taking him out of action kayfabe with a torn pectoral muscle.
Ouch.
Yeah, he could be out for up to 8 months with that, which sucks because he just got back from injury and survived a fall off of a giant scaffolding from Baron Corbin.
That's unfortunate.
God, Baron is just trying to kill people.
Poor Elias.
And then, unfortunately, at Backlash, Edge suffered a torn tricep, which is
a
4 to 8 month recovery time. Yeah.
So
he's going to be out for a little bit, and I'm assuming there's going to be a blow-off match where Edge wins, so 3 of his 4 contracted matches are against Randy Orton. I really hope he gets an AJ Styles match time in there.
Oh, that is just poor timing.
Or a Daniel Bryan match in there.
That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. That's just bad timing.
Or Shinsuke Nakamura. Actually, I know I'm not too excited to see Edge versus Shinsuke.
No, Shinsuke's too stiff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like not in a bad way.
Just in a, I don't want him to actually break Edge's neck way.
Yeah. Any more sad news?
I would assume AEW beat NXT in the ratings again. Is that sad?
Yeah, that's probably, especially after what the shit that happened last week.
Yeah.
All right. So, first off, we had our first FTR's debut of against Butcher and Blade, which was a really good match. Butcher and Blade got a lot of offense in, but I love that FTR wins with, like, basically it looks like a Meltzer driver. But there's no flip. Like, it's, you know how the Met, like, Meltzer is, like, the one gets the pile driver ready and the one does the flip? Mm-hmm. Like what the, I can't remember who set up who, but the one set up the pile driver, the other one just, like, climbed to, like, the second or third rope and then jumped, and then just jumped off and did it.
Nice.
It was really nice. And,
it, mocking the Bucks.
Right? But yeah, afterwards, the Bucks came out and, like, formally introduce themselves as, like, the team who's been carrying tag team wrestling for the past, like, 10 years. Or 10, 15, or maybe, 10
or 15 years. I think they're supposed to be faces, but their characters are clearly heels.
I know, right? But during the little exchange, Butcher and the Blade come back out with Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian, for some reason. And they start beating up everyone. And then Kenny and Paige come out, and they kind of scurry off. And you had FTR, Young Bucks, and Kenny and Paige in the ring, which is just like the triple threat match I want to see.
I'd be okay with that.
I'll get to that in a little bit. We had
wait, one question.
What's up?
How was FTR's theme music? I haven't seen it yet.
I can't remember it. I know it's not. It's obviously not the Circus.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm.
They
try to mock it somehow, or
I don't remember, to be honest. I'll have to look it up afterwards.
Fine.
After we had Nyla Rose and Penelope Ford defeating Chris Strandlander and Hikaru Shida, which is a little weird that you have your champion win lose to your former champion. But Nia pins Chris, so I guess that kind of...
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, which one got
Yeah. It was a pretty good match, but, like, and of course, like, with every Penelope match with Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian interfered at a certain point, which kind of turned the ties, blah, blah, blah.
Was Jimmy Havoc there? Did he acid rainmaker the ref? I want to see it.
No, I don't think so. I wish that they would kind of, and it sort of sucks that Britt Baker, like they do a lot of these like weird odd tag team matches with the women's instead of giving a lot of them like storylines.
Yeah, the women's division is kind of weak. I think that's been a big criticism. Like, it's the weakest thing. They kind of started doing things, but, like, the Nightmare Collective never took off.
Yeah, I don't...
Britt Baker was, like, an outside heel, and her and Penelope Ford had a battle, and now she's out.
She was doing really good, which kind of sucks that that happened, but... I also think of it as since a lot of their mentality is like you kind of go out there and get yourself over, like how it was like back in the old days.
That happened, and then Smiley Kylie Rae left, and then so did Yuka Sakazaki. Come back, Genie Girl, we love you. Sorry, mental break.
No, it's okay. Where am I at? Oh yes. After that match we had the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy beating Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz. This match was all over the place. Hager took out Cassidy right away because he's been messing with Jericho the past couple weeks or whatnot. But towards the end, Cassidy just kicks it in the gear, and I love when he just, like, tries.
Yeah, that's always great.
He gets the pin.
Once he takes his hands out of his pockets.
Right. He gets the pin, I believe it was on Ortiz.
Santana.
Yes. But then afterwards, Jericho is on commentary the whole time. Afterwards, he comes down, and they all just start whooping on the Best Friends, and they throw him out, and then they're starting beating on Orange Cassidy. At one point, like, Jericho has a bat, and then at one point, they have a bag of oranges that they were hitting him with, which I thought was great.
That is a nice touch.
All right. So, okay, and then here are a bunch of random vignettes in no particular order. We had Allie and QT Marshall are dating, and there was some weird conflict between...
She's no longer the bunny, right?
Who knows? Brandy and Dustin are not happy about it. Because Dustin and QT have like a championship opportunity next week, I think. He's like, you got to get your head in the game, man. Got to get your head in the game. Mm. Probably one of my favorite videos was just... There was one of Darby Allin skateboarding. And he was just trying to, like, essentially he had a ladder set up on a down ramp. And that's probably not what it's called. But he was just trying to, like, sitting up at the top of the ladder would just, like, essentially grind down the side of it and then land the thing. He kept falling over and over again. And finally he lands it and he passes by and Tony Hawk is there. And he was like, awesome, man, awesome. Which I was like... Coolest cameo ever.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. There was also MJF before, I can't remember if this was, I believe this was before the Sammy and Colt Cabana match, but MJF interrupted Billy Gunn and his son during a promo and like essentially talked about how there's like favoritism in AEW. Like if you're not friends with the Elite, then you don't like get the whatever. He was talking about how he's the glass ceiling, blah, blah, blah. Billy Gunn is essentially getting in his face, and then MJF is like pleading to Wardlow to like help him out and separate him and stuff, which I can't wait until Wardlow just turns on MJF.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
It's gonna be fantastic. But yeah, that leads into Sammy Guevara defeating Colt Cabana, who has been being tempted by the Dark Order for a lot lately.
Oh yeah, they handed him a flyer.
Well, it gets juicier. Now, this segment sort of splits into two. So, Colt goes to go do his Chicago Skyline and slips. Sammy takes advantage of it and gets the win. On the one hand, after that, all of the Dark Order came out. And Brody Lee just like...
How many numbers are there?
I'm assuming 10. Okay. Because there's 10, and then you have Evil Uno and Burly and all that stuff.
Bad other guy that no one can remember his name.
But yeah, Brody Lee just, like, helps Colt Cabana up, and then they all leave. Not, like, Colt Cabana doesn't leave, but, like, then the Dark Order leaves. Like, they all come out, he helps them up, and then they all leave. And then later on, you see Colt going into Brody Lee's locker room. So we don't know what's going on with that. But after they leave, Sammy is in the ring talking about how good he is, and Matt Hardy comes out. And just as regular Matt Hardy basically tells him how he Sammy reminds him of a younger him. And he thinks that the only way he's going to be able to break out if he just, like, stays away from Jericho because he's bad news. And Sammy was, like, getting all pissed. So every time he'd talk, he'd interrupt him. And eventually Matt turned into Matt Virgin 1. And then eventually he turned into Broken Matt and, like, chased him off.
Yes.
There's that vignette of Joey Janela with Sonny Kiss. Joey Janela was, like, drunk at a bar, like, talking about this, like, I think this, like, CZW spot that he did was, like, the highlight of his career so far. Because he's sort of in a middle ground. So I'm curious. That was interesting. Then we had Moxley in the parking lot being interviewed, being all pissed off about Taz and Brian. And then Taz comes out and gets in his face and, like, shoves him and all this stuff. And you see Brian coming, like, this, like, fucking, like, an ogre from the distance creeping out. Just starts walloping on Jon Moxley. Ends up, like, Taz is like, all right, we sent a message. And then he just picks him up and, like, smashes him in the back of a parked car and then leaves.
All right.
Yeah, Brian Cage is so fucking scary.
Yes, that is a very, very large man.
Very violent man. And then the last match of the night, we had Cody defeating Markel Quinn to retain the TNT Championship. It was a really good match, as expected. Mm-hmm. I love Private... Both members of Private Party are really good. So I didn't expect them in, you know, to be not good individually, I guess, if that makes sense. I've noticed Cody is, like, borderline heelish whenever he's doing these TNT championship bouts. Like, he's, like, so determined to stay on it that he, like, any sort of, like, advantage that he gets, like, if any, like, I think Mark had tweaked his leg at some point, or his knee, and Cody just, like, took advantage of it. Like, just the... just.
I mean, that's just smart tactics.
Yes, but the way that it's one of those, like, very... It's just, you can see that he turns up the intensity, so... Which I like, because then when he loses, that just makes whoever wins that much more credible.
That is true.
And hopefully it's Darby Allin. That's my bit, though.
I mean, we both had him to win it originally, so that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you, like, the tournament was cool. I think it was really good to get that Lance Archer-Cody thing out of the way, which is to put it on a big stage, which is kind of what they were going for. I think ultimately Darby's going to be a champion in AEW, and for him to win it off Cody, it storyline-wise would make a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like...
beat him.
Yeah. Exactly. Between, like, that and then, like, you know, them, like, going over the limit and, or,
Yeah, the draw.
The draw that they had in the match, yeah.
The first draw, then Cody beat him, and then, like, Darby finally beating him, that'd be...
Yeah.
Nice storyline.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's AEW. How was the NXTs? After what would it be? What's it, the, I guess... The
follow up show,
the NXT after or takeover that doesn't have a
yeah, I think it's just the follow up show.
Better swing
or the next show.
Yeah.
Well, we start off with a Undisputed Era promo, and, like, Roddy keeps looking around.
Oh yeah, I forgot they got kidnapped.
Yeah, he didn't take too well to that. Yeah, it was basically here to hype up, like, Adam Cole versus Dexter Lumis later, and then at the end of the promo, like. Because Roddy kept them like, I see him. And they're like, no, he's not here. And then at the end of the promo, like, Dexter Lumis just, like, pops up. He was in the crowd the entire time.
Oh, my, I really hope that he just has them, like, there's, like, a short scene of, like, him, like, in a barn. And they're just, like, hanging there, like, by the fucking... Like some.
Yeah, what did you? I don't want to talk about it, man. You just like, see that little flash.
Yeah, some like creepy ass like Leatherface shit. Like what the hell is happening? The Texas
Bobby Lewis? Fish seems fine. But this kind of like leads to backstage where like the Undisputed Era is still trying to like calm Roddy down, and then like Yim and Lee walk up, and Keith Lee is kind of like eyeing Cole's title. And then, you know, the Undisputed Era is like, no, not the time for this. And as they walk away, you kind of hear Adam yell, in your dreams, big man.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Next up, we have Team Yimitless versus the Garganos.
Can I side note really quick before we move on to this match? If you have Keith Lee beat Adam Cole for the title while he still holds the North American champion, that is a surefire way to create at least two new top superstars.
That is true.
Anyone on that roster could feasibly hold two belts, it would definitely be Keith Lee. 100%.
I mean, he did wear Candice LeRae like a backpack while military pressing Johnny, so yeah.
Sorry, continue.
But yeah, so it was, you know, Keith Lee versus, or Gimmitless versus the Garganos. Another intergender match. There was actually like a lot of intergender moves in this. It was a nice back and forth, though Mia Yim actually hit a suplex on Johnny.
Really?
But, yeah, like a German suplex.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But inevitably, it's not enough. Lee kind of, like, pounces Gargano into Mia Yim, who's, like, standing on the apron, and then he's distracted because he's like, oh, God, no. Gives Johnny enough time to hit the final beat. But then Candice LeRae is actually underneath them when they fall, and Keith Lee, like, flattens Candice. So he's on top of her. But then Lee, he's looking, like, devastated. He kind of, like, picks up Candice, and then Johnny just, like, gets a surprise roll-up from there. He plays this slimy heel character very well.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Very well. It still makes me upset, but that's the whole point.
Yes. So we move to the back where Cameron Grimes is kind of, like, bad-mouthing Damian Priest because he's like, I beat Finn Balor. If he was so good, he would have done it, too. You know, until, like, Damian Priest shows up behind him, and then Grimes is like, oh, hey, man, I was just talking about, like, how good you were. You almost had him. You didn't, but you almost did. And then Damian Priest just kind of, like, punches him in the face, and he's just like, oh, continue.
Feud walks begins. Away.
Yeah, next feud. Cameron Grimes can take a loss here. Damian Priest needs a win. He hasn't had...
You've been saying it, like, he hasn't been winning very much.
Yeah, like, I think there was a few squash matches when he first came in, but that, you know, everyone gets to do that.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, okay, well, now you're just going to lose for everyone. But yeah, next up we have Indu Share versus Mikey Delbra and Mike Reed.
And me?
No, Mike Reed.
Oh, okay. It's like, I don't remember wrestling on last Wednesday.
Well, considering it's Indu Share, you probably got a concussion because this is obviously just a squash match.
I've only heard of one person out of this. It's probably just a big old squash.
Yeah.
Besides from me.
Yeah, they're just kind of like saying, hey, remember these guys are still monsters since we took them off TV because Vince wanted to call Matt Riddle up, but he was the champ and Indu Share was in a feud, so we had to end their feud and start a new feud and put these guys on the back burners and had a random Vince stare is down.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was a little bit.
That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a very quick match. It just kind of revived that. Backstage, we have Drake Younger, the referee, talking to William Regal on the iPad. He's like, oh, Cameron Grimes said like his jaw's broke. He can't wrestle Balor again. So, you know, he's like, wait, let me go talk to him. So he's walking in the back and, you know, Cameron Grimes is just kind of sitting there like talking up a bunch of ladies in the back. And he's,
oh yeah,
you know, the referee's sitting there like, Cameron Grimes, he's like, man, would you get away from me? I'm busy, you know, buzz off. So he's like, William Regal wants to talk to you. And then that's when he like grabs his jaw. He's like, Mr. Regal.
Does that what he sounds like? He had, like with like a southern twang?
Yeah, no, he's got a southern accent.
Man, would you just get away from me, man? I'm busy.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay.
He kind of sounds like Jamie Noble. But yes.
Damon Noble.
Anyway, you know, he finally has a broken jaw, and then that's when Regal's just like, yeah, you're not getting out of the match. Get ready. And then he's like, man, girls, get out of here. Would you see? I'm trying to get ready, girls. Go away.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. Well.
He deserves the loss.
The next exhausting promo is up next, because we have a Breezango promo.
Yes. Was it amazing?
Yes, it was. It's basically for the Imperium title shot next week. No, it was kind of serious. They're talking about Fandango's WrestleMania debut. I wonder who they were referencing. They're not allowed to.
I was hoping we'd get like a Fashion Files.
Yeah, they're like, no, we've always been entertaining, and we're going to be serious next week while being entertaining, basically. I kind of hope they win, but I don't think they have any chance of taking the title off of Imperium.
They should have made...
Unless Finn Balor just comes out and beats him up for no reason.
Another total side note, they should have made the Fashion Files an actual show on the WWE Network.
That would have been terrific.
Yes, because, I mean, they would definitely be able to do enough material to get, like, 6 episodes for, like, a season.
Easy. Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, pretty easy. Back to NXT. We go over to Rhea Ripley being interviewed backstage, and Robert Stone just basically tries to recruit her. I mean, he's a really good mouthpiece, but then Rhea Ripley's like, there's a million to one chance, or like, there's a one in a million chance I'd work with you.
Damn.
And he's like, so you're saying there's a chance, just...
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, just dumb and dumber and get straight up. So she's like, yeah, come here. And then punches him in the stomach and throws him. It's kind of a table, but I think it's just kind of some kind of like a backstage equipment thing that's designed to break. And I think she might have botched it a little bit, because it seemed like his head was the first thing that hits it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Anyway, next up, Finn Balor versus Grimes. The match has to happen.
Finn just stomps the fuck out of him.
Oddly enough, Cameron Grimes seems to have an answer for almost everything Finn Balor tries, including the 1916 and the coup de grace.
Interesting.
Yeah, he counters both of those with roll-ups, oddly enough, and he gets like a 2.5 count. It's really strange. I think they're like turning Cameron Grimes into the next Baron Corbin. They're like, I'm tough. I almost beat you. I didn't. But I almost did, except Kurt Angle, because he did his job and put someone else over on the way out. But yeah, Cameron Grimes has an answer for everything until he doesn't. And he actually falls victim to the coup de grace and the 1916. So it's kind of 1-1. I'm thinking there might be another random like blow-off match. Well, I thought that until Balor mentioned, he's like, out of all the titles I've held in NXT, I've never held the North American title.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah, he basically says, hey, Keith Lee, I'm coming for you.
What is he doing? Why would he?
Or no, he says, Keith Lee, come see me if you're done playing house.
Why would he even like fancy that idea?
Because he's totally gonna take it off of him, so Keith Lee can go after Adam Cole.
No, he can go after Adam Cole with the belt.
No, he's not going to. Mm-hmm. They won't do that.
Finn's already a star. He doesn't need the belt.
But he's going to get it.
Then Keith Lee goes Ultra Instinct.
Yep.
During the match and.
No, I'm sorry. Creates a new move. moving on to the next match, though. It's Dakota Kai versus Casey Catanzaro, the ultimate underdog, because she's like 4'1". She's really tiny. She was actually like very spunky here. Her, I think she calls it a latihara. It's like this apron her karate thing. It's coming along, but the match is kind of sloppy at one point. Although she does kick out of a... I can't remember what Dakota Kai calls it. It's a huluva kick, but instead of running diagonally across the ring, she runs across the ropes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But eventually, Casey, who gets a surprising amount of offense, falls victim to the scorpion kick, then gets the go-to kick. Kai kind of like attacks her after the match, and then Caden Carter comes out, who's been introduced as her partner. I'm not sure when this happened, but I guess it did. I think it was like one match, but hey, sure. And then, of course, you know, that brought Raquel out, because, you know, Raquel Gonzalez is Dakota Kai's little flunky. Kayden does a decent she puts forth a decent effort fighting her off, but Raquel Gonzalez is a giant Amazonian, scary, terrifying woman, and does her huge, like, one-arm powerbomb slam thing that she does.
She's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Very scary.
Yeah, she just kind of, like, plops her down on the mat, and it looks painful. So we're probably getting that match next week at some point. But moving on, we get a Timothy Thatcher promo. He basically gets down where he's, like, talking in his gym about, like, you know, how he's coming for NXT. It comes down to grab the liability waiver and leave the tears at home. So, like, connect, because next week, Timothy Thatcher's School of Pain is open or something, blah, blah, blah.
Why this is so unrelated to anything that we're talking, well, kind of related. Why does Timothy Thatcher sound like an author's name to me?
I'm not sure, but he actually does have, like, a very distinct, like, stiffer, almost shoot fighter-esque style to him.
Just that,
I like it. Like, his fight against Riddle was awesome.
Something about that name. I'm gonna have, okay,
maybe
sorry.
He is.
Maybe. Yeah.
Next up, we have El Hijo de Fantasma and Drake Maverick with new music, which I'm sad about. I kind of like his old music. It was distinctive. This one seems a little bit more generic.
Are they making him walk around with his contract and cry the whole time? Is that his new gimmick?
No.
Okay, that's good.
No, he was actually calling Phantasma out here. He's like, you did good. I'm happy for you, but I can beat you. And he asks for a rematch. And Phantasma agrees, and then the luchadors come out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so Maverick and Phantasma kind of go, like, back to back. Until Phantasma turns around, and then Maverick's like, wait, what? Turns around and just eats a big ol' headbutt. And then that's when the luchadors come in, and they just all stomp him.
It was all fun and games until the luchadors arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the masked men pull off their masks. It's Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde.
Mm.
Yep. Phantasma, I guess, pulls his mask off and reels. He is Santos Escobar. He's the NXT Cruiserweight Champion, and no one can touch him. And then Wilde and Mendoza double splash Maverick.
Wait, he just unmasked himself?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just unmasked themselves?
Yep.
Were they always luchador wrestlers?
No.
Okay.
Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza weren't. Phantasma, he actually was in most other promotions, but I mean, he was also in, like, Lucha Underground. And...
That's so weird. Also... I always thought that was, like, a weird, like, that was, like, a big, like, tradition kind of thing with the mask, where, like, a demasking is a very, like, dishonorable thing.
Yeah, but I guess he just did it.
Okay. He's just like, fuck traditions. Look at my pretty face.
I am in WWE. You can't trademark Phantasma, so you're making me do this. Yeah. Vince loves a good old unmasking.
That's big, yeah.
But moving on, we move to our main event, where it's Adam Cole versus Dexter Lumis. Although before the match, they find a, like, drawing of the Undisputed Era just, like, decimated, and Roddy just kind of, like, runs when he sees Dexter Lumis in the doorway just staring at him afterwards. It was... It's terrific. I love this, like, creepy character he has going on here.
He's a murderer.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're going for, it looks like. So Cole keeps on trying to, like, hit Lumis, but, like, he just keeps on coming at him with his, like, simple and hard-hitting offense. Like, he doesn't do anything that's too fancy, but it's just, like, effective. So Cole, like, kind of goes for a Panama Sunrise at one point, and Lumis reverses it into the Catacatome at some point. And that's when, like, Fish distracts the ref, and Roddy kicks Lumis in the head. Adam Cole's able to get the last shot, and then the 1-2-3. They're kind of, like, walking off, and Cole goes back to, like, taunt Lumis a little bit. And he locks Adam Cole in the Katakatame again. Undisputed Era breaks it up when Velveteen Dream comes out to, like, chase off Fish and Strong with the help of Dexter Lumis. Which leaves Adam Cole in the ring.
Does Lumis kidnap him?
No.
Oh.
The lights go out.
Oh, my
God. And Scarlett, we're not allowed to say Bordeaux, appears at the top and just slowly walks down to the ring. The crowd's just chanting, kneel, or what is that? Fall and pray, not kneel and pray.
That's the Karen. That's the girl who comes with Karen mm-hmm. Cross.
Yeah. Like, she's just slowly walks down to the ring as the crowd's chanting, fall and pray. And she puts this hourglass onto the, like, just slides it into the ring, flips it over, and the sand starts to fall, and the crowd just starts chanting, tick-tock, tick-tock. And that's how the show ends. So Karrion Kross is going for the title.
All right.
Which, I mean, booking-wise, that absolutely makes sense, because you defeated Tommaso Ciampa. Like,
right.
Almost anything else would have been either a step sideways or backwards. Like, you have to go for either that or possibly Keith Lee, but I guess that's going to be a Finn Balor thing.
Can you imagine all the new intense poop faces we'll get if he wins the belt?
I think it's just the angry face.
Oh, no. It'll be more. It'll be much more, I promise you. All right. Now, it is time for the WWE Backlash results review / celebration for the Todd.
Yes.
But not the Todd from the Scrubs. Our Todd, not Banana Hammock Todd. You've never seen Scrubs. I think we talked about this before.
No, I know who you're talking about.
All right.
Anyway.
So, on the pre-show, we had... this is the match that I missed. Mm-hmm. It was...
Apollo Crews versus Andrade. For all 7 minutes of the hour-long pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't give him any more than that.
Yep. I do know that during the match, Angel Garza tried to interrupt. Kevin Owens stunned him just like right on the side there because he was commentating.
Mm-hmm.
And Apollo retained.
Yes, he did.
Which, good for him. I feel like the U.S. title needs to be on like a new person, you know?
Yeah.
Like Andrade had it for a while. They should move him up to like a bigger feud from here.
Yeah, I kind of want to see him in a title feud. Not necessarily win the title, but...
Like, put him in the IC. Like, he can go after AJ. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really awesome. Oh, and it's a different brand, isn't it?
Now it is.
Damn! Well, that doesn't matter.
He's back out.
It doesn't fucking matter. But then, yeah, the main show starts with the Iconics versus...
Iconics!
Versus Bliss Cross versus Sasha and Bayley. Mm-hmm. I put a complaint here that nobody does tornado tags anymore. And I miss tornado tags, where they have both tag team members are in the match. Those were always the best. They just don't do them anymore.
Those are really chaotic, though.
But I'm glad that this time it was instead of having just two people in the ring and anybody can be tagged, it was each team member had a person. And it's chaotic, but that's the point. Like, it's supposed to be, like, crazy.
Yeah, I like how they've been doing the triple threats recently.
I don't like when they do, like, the one-on-ones.
Yeah, the ones where there's two people in the ring and you can tag anyone.
Usually they save those for, like, when there's, like, four teams.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. But, yeah, the match itself was okay. There's a really weird spot with...
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a kind of a weird crossbody spot going on.
I remember the one part towards the end too when Billy and Nikki punched each other at the same time and knocked themselves out on the outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, it was like, what the fuck is happening? I love
Nikki's energy.
Oh, I didn't. I should have typed out like the rest of it. I just stopped right there. But yeah, I lost this prediction because Sasha and Bayley took the lead. But mm-hmm. I understand them wanting to kind of, now that like looking in hindsight, it's like, yeah, they probably want to extend this feud out a little bit more.
Probably, but they don't really need the titles for the feud. It's just a prop for it. I don't know. I think the Iconics should have either got it back or maybe they never should have just taken it from Bliss Cross in the first place.
Yeah, Iconics definitely should have got it back, 100%. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, I get it. They're trying to make it mean more something. Like, whenever they lose those tag belts, that's when I feel like it's going to set off. But just to make it mean more. But it's like, I feel like we've regressed with their feud a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just like really kicking it in the gear, because
I think they want to do it
for a while.
I think they want to do it in front of a live crowd, so they're like, "Oh well,
just milking it."
Now this is like that couple that should break up and then they have a baby. The tag titles are that baby.
That's a good analogy. That's a really good analogy. After that was Jeff Hardy and Sheamus in
a urine throwing competition. Oh, never mind. That was last week.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was. We started talking about the porn doppelgangers at this point, and I actually wrote down. I saw as too much discussion of porn doppelgangers like was distracting me during this match.
A little bit, but I saw the ending.
I was also very like
it was Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus.
The thing, I wasn't invested in this match because I don't like the way they're going about this feud. Like, showing the mugshots. Like, yeah, of course Jeff is going to agree to it. Because if he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Vince is like, well, what else are we going to do with you? But yeah, this match.
He's got 3 to 9 months.
I just remember at the end of this match, because he got a bro kick to the outside.
Two bro kicks.
Bro kick on the outside, and they brought him back in and bro kicked him for the win. And like... I was just mocking Sheamus. It was like, you see that? You're a loser and always a loser, like to Jeff. Because that's essentially what I got out of that match.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if you fuck up in life, you're a fuck up in life forever.
I expect this feud to go on a little longer.
I don't want it to. Just like move Jeff Hardy onto something that doesn't involve his past demons that he's trying to get away from.
Nope.
Jesus Christ.
They gotta go real cutting edge.
Up next we had Nia Jackson versus Asuka. I typed in, it was a waiting game to see when Nia was going to injure Asuka. Luckily that didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Although of course there was a botch towards the end. Like when, Asuka locked that armbar on Nia and it looked like they were both supposed to fall over the ropes. Cause she really quickly like put it back on after she fell over the ropes and they kind of like lost it.
That's when it ended in a double countout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a weird fucking end, but
yeah, it was actually a decent match with some. But I feel like I say this all the time, with some nice back and forth.
Yeah, but like, there's a little something for everyone.
It was, you know, of course the Asuka's the Wily champ now, and Nia Jax is just her big mountain of an opponent.
Yeah, that's fine. And, like, get that out of the way. You did it. Now we don't have to do any more, like David versus Goliath type things. You can move on to, like, someone who won't hurt you.
Yeah. The match was okay. The NXT one was better. Although the ending of the NXT one was very abrupt. Mm. Like, Asuka's getting beat most of the time until she kicks Nia in the head a bunch.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Three kicks, and she's in.
Afterwards, we had Braun versus The Miz and Morrison for the Universal Championship. I did put down... everyone thought it was co-champions, but then during the pre-show, they talked about how it's whoever gets the pin becomes the champion.
Yeah.
And there was a point in there where
and did this skull crushing double stump, finisher.
Yeah. And I think, what was it? Morrison went for the pin and Miz threw him off and then was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. And then threw him back on. But then Braun had enough time to kick out. But let's say we did start off the match with that amazing music video.
Yes.
That was
a nice way to start the match.
A lot of this night was me going, what the fuck is happening?
But it somehow worked out.
Yeah.
Did it make any sense? No, but was it entertaining?
I loved it. Yeah, but I was like, what the fuck is happening?
But moving from the WWE title to the Blue Universal title, we have Drew... versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Braun won that match, but
that was assumed.
Yeah, exactly. It was assumed. But yeah, this match was pretty good. This is really, really hard hitting.
The part where at the beginning though, where like MVP was distracting Drew and the Bobby Lashley put the full Nelson on Drew McIntyre for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ref was like, oh, are you okay? And then, like, as soon as the bell rang, like, Lashley's foot was in the air coming at McIntyre.
The one thing, there was this really, really gross spot where it looked like Lashley was going to go do some sort of Samoan drop or, like, charge into something.
Oh, no, that was the one where he was supposed to slam him on the table, but he tripped beforehand and almost dropped him on his head.
Oh, man, that was cringy. I was like, Drew's gonna die.
Yeah, that was no bueno.
But, yeah, I actually put that bad botch from Bobby and dropped Drew on his head, basically. But other than that, it was a pretty good match, and the right person won.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Bobby Lashley is a big, scary man, but he should not have the belt. You got to keep that on Drew and put a fucking rocket on him. let him go.
Oh, he's going to.
Yeah.
I think that's why they turned Bobby Lashley into such a credible opponent.
He rides that line of, like, likable babyface so well. So where it's like, oh, he's a good guy and he has charisma. And not like, hey, guys, we're gonna defend this whenever we... I'm a fighting champion.
That was kind of a combination between John Cena and Seth Rollins, I think.
Well, it turned into Seth Rollins because that's how Seth started out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that good match. Drew won. That's what it was supposed to. Now, let's move on to whatever the fuck was going on.
I'm not sure that was a match.
Street Profits and Viking Raiders were supposed to have a match, and it turned into like one of those cinematic match. I don't know what was going. I hear some bullet points.
Okay,
it started in the performance center. They were fighting each other.
No, it's there. Oh yeah, it started earlier in the night in the performance center, and then this segment started in the parking lot around Braun Strowman's car.
And they broke Braun Strowman's windshield, and they ended up running inside. And at one point, the Street Profits had golf clubs, and the Viking Raiders had. Both had shields. Ivar had a bowling ball.
Yeah, and Eric had an axe.
Yeah.
And both of the Street Profits just look at each other and go, nope.
I definitely typed in, that's not the right person. So yeah, they're fighting eventually. They kind of stop and put the weapons down, but then Ivar ends up, like, has, like, flashbacks the whole time of all of the things they've been doing, like bowling and mini golfing and like having people tell him he's cute. It was fucking weird.
Yeah, some weird mini sequences going on there.
Yeah, so then he bowls a ball into was it Montez that got
that was Montez's little Montez's.
And then this is where the acid really kicked in. They're outside fighting, and a motorcycle ride, or group, like a group of motorcycles.
Yes, a motorcycle gang.
Of ninjas, led by Akira Tozawa.
Yep.
Who then proceed to start fighting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
After they join up.
Yeah, a good old 70s movie showdown.
Oh my god, I was laughing so hard. And then, like, they win, and then Akira brings out this guy that we were legit, like, is that Shaq? Like, this just this huge man. Everyone was like, nope.
I can't remember his name. He's someone from the Performance Center currently.
He was just a very large man. It could also be that camera angle they were shooting him at, but...
Probably a little of both. He is like 7'2" or something.
But yeah, both teams run off. They start fighting on top of the like.
They like to do fighting on top of production trucks recently.
Yeah, and then every one by one, everybody just slowly got knocked into the dumpster.
Yeah, like a garbage dumpster on the side.
Then there was a scene. Ref,
our lady ref.
Yeah, lady ref said that Ivar was cute and Eric not so much. And then it ended.
Your match is next.
It ended. With them all like trying running away from what looked like an alligator tail that was also inside the garbage can.
Yes, but like a very obviously fake alligator
Holy
tail.
Shit, man, this was just off the wall. I don't even know.
So we all predicted the Street Profits. We're not sure who won or if it was a match.
Yeah, because they didn't have a match. Because they were like, because she came out was like, your guy's match is almost up, and then they just never had a match.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to next up. The greatest wrestling match ever.
Ever.
Yeah, they played the song track from the Greatest Showman. We had Madison Square Garden microphones like dropped from the ceiling.
Before they even showed it was like Panic at the Disco's remix. Mm-hmm. They played at the beginning. I'm like, is this musical music? Like, this doesn't sound like your typical like. WWE hard rock. I'm like, this sounds like something I've heard in my house at some point several times.
Yeah, it's the greatest wrestling match ever. So
featuring the greatest showman. Uh-huh. The greatest show.
So 2 seconds in, I realized my prediction of no match was not going to come true, as you know, the match has already started. And yeah, well.
Can I just point out, they had fake crowd noise coming in the whole time.
It was a little weird.
It was so weird. And, like, I just did not.
Like, granted, they do that when there is a real crowd there, but there's a real crowd there.
But there's a real crowd there.
It's not like a dozen wrestlers on each side.
Yeah. It was fuck. They shouldn't have done that. That was fucking weird, but...
Yeah, and also, sometimes when you have people from the Performance Center there, they cheer for, like, who they're friends with, not who's a heel and who's a face. So
yeah.
Sometimes that's a little weird, too, but I kind of enjoy that.
I will say, this was not the greatest wrestling match ever.
It might have been the greatest wrestling match on the card.
Yes, I would definitely say it was, it might have been Edge and Randy's best match. There was a lot, I mean, like, there was a lot of, like, it was started off really slow, and there was a lot of huge high spots. At one point, everyone was, like, they were both doing finishers of the people who were cheering them on. Like, Randy did an angle slam and a pedigree, and then Edge did, like, the rock bottom at one point. Like, there,
And he pulled an educator out. I think, did he get the education locked on?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
He might have, but, I mean, it was a really good match. I would not say it was the greatest match ever, but that is just, they should not have marketed it that way. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. You don't just proclaim to be the best match ever before even having it.
But they did. So if you ever Google greatest wrestling match ever, guess what's going to pop up?
That's probably why they did it. Holy shit. God, that's so, oh man, I would not put it past them.
But yeah, eventually Randy Orton busted out the RKO and got a two count. So, I think he picked, what did he do? He picked Edge up again and Edge locked on. I think they're calling it the anti-venom. It kind of looked like the Caddy Katama, though, the same thing that Dexter Lumis does. And then the camera angle seemed a little bit weird because I think while my prediction of no match didn't come true, I believe there was a dick kick.
There, he low-blowed him for sure.
Yeah, because it looked like some sort of a knee, but the camera was kind of weird. Yeah,
and then when Edge hit the ground, he just fucking booted him in the head, and that's what... And then afterwards, I'm pretty sure...
And like, bust out the punt.
He was mumbling stuff to him, but I'm pretty sure he was like, tell Beth and the kids.
Yeah, tell Beth and the kids that said hi. Like, go home to your family or something like that. Stay down.
Jesus. Well, he has to now. Unfortunately. So yeah, That was the WWE Backlash review. Our champion, Todd, you said, has prepared a statement for the podcast, I believe.
I'm not actually sure if this was for the podcast, but he has prepared a statement. I have become your House of Pod Predictions champion. I have struggled as I watched people without integrity hold this title. Scooby even lost this beautiful, magnificent belt. Now that I am your champion, I promise to defend this title against all comers. I will do my best to bring back the prestige and honor that accompanies this belt. Once I am able to, I will defend this title in person. The champ is still in quarantine. End quote.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we all did just kind of go like immediate heel season one.
Yeah, well, you guys did. I was like, whatever. I did send a few videos to you guys and with the belt, but yeah. So Todd's the champ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the champ. I don't know when the next pay per view is. We'll have to figure. Is it Fyter Fest? I can't remember if Fyter Fest is in August or not. August or July.
No, the next one's Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. Okay. All right. Hopefully we'll have some Extreme Rules at this Extreme Rules.
Oh, well, that's the next WWE one. I wasn't taking into account everything else.
Yeah, I just can't remember. I can't remember.
Oh, New Japan's actually coming back June 15th.
Ooh. I should get a New Japan subscription.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed it. And I know that they have, like, the English commentary stuff, so that we can still understand what's going on.
I mean, we'll probably figure it out.
Yeah, this will be our way into learning how to speak Japanese.
Yes.
When you go to the, place and, like, you're sort of, like, adapt to it quicker because you're forced to.
Mm.
Exactly the same thing, right?
What's the Japanese translation for slobber knocker?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Seems like it would be absurdly long.
Wouldn't it just, would that, because it's a quote, wouldn't it just be slobber knocker?
Possibly.
I don't, because that would be really funny though. So before we finish up, we have our semifinals for the Tournament of Heroes. Heroes, heroes.
And some villains that have been knocked out.
They're definitely gone. And honestly, these semifinals, we both agreed were probably going to be pretty quick.
I wouldn't say pretty quick, but...
Not pretty quick, but we definitely...
We're not going to be arguing
there's, too much on them. We both agreed on the victors for it. So we first we have Nightcrawler versus Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
And we already agreed with, like, Nightcrawler's...
Yes, if he is bloodlusted, he would be able to immediately just kill everyone on this roster with very little effort, mm-hmm. and he would win the entire thing very quickly.
But there's no killing in this fight, so...
So he can't. And he also cannot do very much to Colossus, then.
Nope. So eventually it's just a waiting game until Colossus gets his hand on Nightcrawler.
Yeah, and since Nightcrawler used to teleport Colossus everywhere, like it wouldn't even weaken him down that much as it would have in other fights.
Yeah, and the whole dropping him from the sky would do nothing because Colossus is just do the superhero landing. Superhero landing.
Kurt, this is stupid. Lay down.
Lay down your arms. So yeah, I think that would be over relatively. Not quickly, but like I said, I think it goes down to how long does it take Colossus to get his hands on Nightcrawler versus how long will it take for Nightcrawler to get tired?
Yeah, I think Nightcrawler may be able to teleport and maybe throw him into the walls or something a few times, but I just don't think there's any real way to do too much damage to Colossus.
Yeah, exactly. And then the second fight, which I think was a little bit more surprising, was Cyborg versus Superman.
Spider-Man.
That's what I meant. That would have been a much different fight if it was Cyborg versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And we both agree that we think Cyborg would take this fight.
Oddly enough, yes. The shape-shifting actually kind of threw it over. That and the fact that half of his face is the only thing that feels pain. Everything else is a machine.
Mm-hmm.
A shape-shifting machine that's constantly upgrading itself.
See, and you went into like that mode with like the how his like armor and the machinery and the powers were. I was just on the sole fact of like his entire being is like a targeting system. So Spider-Man would never be able to get the jump on him. And
well, Spider-Man's spider sense is actually, I guess it processes at the same speed, and he can possibly use that to move even faster. So while Cyborg may not be able to initially like react and hit him as fast, he's always going to know where he is. So
yeah,
he'll be able to stop Spider-Man
before when the mother bird just like eventually damage. Learn how like at during like wouldn't it be able just to make itself faster as it goes on?
Eventually, yes, but also eventually it's going to figure out Spider-Man's fighting style and be able to adapt.
Yeah. Like, oh, he bends in very odd ways. Shoot where you think you'd miss, and I'm sure a body part of his will be flinged over there.
Plus, also the sonic sound cannon, since they're locked in a 100x100x100 room. I'm thinking if he blasts one of those off, there's no way Peter can dodge it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no. I mean,
a
cornered room would dampen the sound, but not enough to where...
Not 100x100. It's anyone within earshot.
If it was in a rounded room, he'd be fucked. Because he could just shoot it all over the place. It would just start bouncing around everywhere.
I think that dampens him. He slowly hacks in and disables Peter's web shooters. And it's... like even though Peter is stronger... I mean, I guess he could, or no, I was thinking that he could maybe like start ripping Cyborg's arms off. I forgot what the name of the DC equivalent of Animanium is. But he's basically made out of that. So
Darksidium?
That would be an interesting name for...
Unobtainium!
Promethium. That's on par with Animanium.
Okay.
And he's also got a silent mode that not even Superman can hear.
Ooh.
So while Spidey still has the spider sense, he wouldn't necessarily have, like, hearing if he switches on to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus, like, Spider-Man is a lot stronger, but he's got insane durability. You know, and an ice gun. And an energy cannon. And an EMP.
And missiles.
Yeah.
And essentially anything he really wants to.
Yeah. Split-second processing. But yeah, I think the white noise disruptor is still what overtakes it, because you can't really dodge that with all the agility you have.
Yeah.
It's just going to bounce around in that cube and do its thing. So yeah, begrudgingly, since I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, I need to give this to Cyborg. And doing all my research into him makes me really want a Cyborg solo movie. They kind of rushed that.
Hopefully in the Snyder Cut we'll get one, because they were originally supposed... I thought they were going to make one.
I think there was extra character development with all of them in that, but they decided to cut it because they didn't want a four-hour movie when we're like, if you're not going to give us a solo, give us something.
Yeah, right.
So I'm okay with it. So next week we have Cyborg versus Colossus.
In the finals. I did not expect that.
Two metal robots, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could have expected that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is the podcast for the week. Mm-hmm. As always, check us out at House of Pod One on the social medias.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have the results of our tournament of heroes. And that's it.
Yep.
Next week. So for House of Pod, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Goodbye.